The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights from the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about something very different for Guys Guys Radio because we've been talking about quantum physics and metaphysical concepts and channeling and spirituality and dating and relationships and sports and New York Times best-selling books. But today we're going to talk about something that has taken America and the sports world by storm: pickleball. That's right. We're going to talk about the dinks and drills and lobs and the kitchen and all the stuff that goes into what is the fastest growing sport in the world right now. There's over 50 million people playing. It all started in the northeast portion of the United States about 50 years ago, but very much under the radar. But now it's everywhere. People are building pickleball courts in their at their homes. They're going on pickleball vacations. They're traveling all over the world to play the game, and it's picked up internationally also in other countries. Pickleball's where it's at. I know for myself, I live in Southern California, and I take my son down to the basketball court in the complex we live in. We shoot some baskets, and we also throw the baseball around, have a catch. And there's a tennis court adjacent to the basketball court. And it used to be now and then you'd see a couple of people playing tennis, and tennis is such a beautiful game. But all of a sudden, they put in two pickleball nets, and that changed everything. Nobody's playing tennis there anymore. Everybody's playing pickleball. Couples, mixed couples, it seems like a lot of fun. I have yet to play. I'm a good athlete, but I have not picked up the sport yet. But I'm intrigued by it, and I know so many people, not only are they interested in it, they're fanatics, and they become fanatics about this sport very, very quickly. So we're going to get into pickleball, the who's playing, what pickleball's all about, how you play, where you play, when people are playing, and why they're playing, and some of the benefits that you get from playing this, what looks like a wonderful game. It's like a wooden or some other type of composite type of paddle, a wiffle ball, type of hard wiffle ball, and you got to have your sneakers on and your shorts and your t-shirt and a cap and sunglasses maybe, and you're off to the races, and that's all you need to do to play pickleball, and a short net. And usually a partner, four people play, and it seems like a heck of a lot of fun, and we're going to get into it all right here on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, so we welcome our YouTube and Rumble viewers to the show. And as I mentioned, today we're going to talk about pickleball. Our special guest is Matthew Schwartz. He spent 40 years in TV news, a lot of it in New Jersey, and won more than 200 awards, including four Emmys, four Edward R. Murrow Awards for investigative reporting. He's interviewed everybody from Son of Sam to Donald Trump and a lot of those annoying people that you see on TV who try to scam people or change the odometers and try to sell cars as new cars. Matt was all over that for years, and he was a true advocate for the consumer in the New York, New Jersey area. I watched him for years when I lived in New York City. His 2020 memoir, Confessions of an Investigative Reporter, was an Amazon number one bestseller. And now he writes a weekly blog for Hootif Sports, and he plays pickleball six times a week, and he also writes for Pickleball Magazine now. So I wanted to introduce pickleball to a lot of our listeners and viewers who are unaware of it, and get into the fine points of it with those who are familiar with the game, because it's exploding, and I'm curious about it myself. So let's learn together from Matthew Schwartz. Welcome to Guys Radio.
Thanks for having me and for that introduction, Bob.
Well, you know what? Just the truth to be told, Matt and I go way back. I have a photo of us together at my 7th birthday party. So we've been friends since we've been kids back in River Edge, New Jersey. We played baseball together. We played soccer together. We had lots of laughs, and we've always stayed in touch every so often over the years. And it's always been a great relationship. So I'm thrilled to see you again. And Matt, by the way, has been inducted to, or is being inducted to, the Riverdale High School Hall of Fame, and well-deserved. Great work on your behalf, Matt.
Thank you so much. And we went to a Padres game in San Diego.
We did. And hopefully we'll go to another next time you're in the area. Yes. So pickleball, let's get into it, because you're an avid player. You write for Pickleball Magazine. You write for Hoda Sports. Tell us, for the folks who aren't that aware of what pickleball is, we've got a pickleball court near in the tennis courts where I shoot baskets with my son, and we also play baseball in there. We warm up, we do some pitching, and I noticed nobody's playing tennis anymore, but the pickleball courts, the two courts there, are being used constantly. So what is pickleball, in your opinion, and why has it become so popular so quickly? There's over 50 million players now.
Well, it's a combination of tennis and table tennis. It's a smaller court than tennis. It's only 22 feet on each side of the net, 44 feet wide. And it's about, I think it's 36 feet wide. I mean, 44 feet long. And it's, I think, the sound of the ball hitting the paddle people love. And to answer the other part of your question, the baby boomers now, who can't cover so much ground on the tennis court, find this small court. I mean, I thought it was a stupid name with a stupid game. I was at a July 4th party, 2020. And the hosts had pickleball paddles and balls. They came out with them into the backyard from their house. They showed it to me, and I didn't do anything about it for 3 months. I needed another hobby. I just retired 2 weeks prior. In June of 2020, I retired. September of 2020, I went to a clinic, a group clinic in Tucson, where we were living at the time. And I was obsessed and hooked in 20 minutes, which most people are. It's just such a fun game. And it's really brains over brawn. It's strategy, technique, like a chess match.
You know, while reading your articles and reading some of Pickleball Magazine, I came up with all these different terms, and a lot about the mental game, a lot about the strategy. And the people who were playing, though, were from like the 20s to the 60s or 70s. And it's exploded here in Southern California. So just for context, where did pickleball begin? I read something about 1965 in Bainbridge Island, Washington.
A couple of guys who were friends, one of them was a state legislator in Bainbridge Island, and they had a volleyball net set up on a kind of a cracked, you know, cement area by their driveway, or maybe it was their driveway. And they were bored, and they just had like ping pong paddles or, you know, some kind of early version of a pickleball paddle. And they started hitting a wiffle ball around. And there's two different stories about how the name pickleball came about. One was that the homeowner, had a dog named Pickles who kept interrupting the game by, you know, getting the ball. And then the other story is that somebody had a pickle boat in that group. But these four guys started in Bainbridge Island, Washington, or three guys. And it really didn't explode. It got popular slowly, more in the Pacific Northwest, Bob, than the rest of the country, you know, at first. But really, so many people, myself included, became obsessed with it during the pandemic, during COVID-19, around 2020. A lot of people start playing to get outdoors.
Now, the equipment, just to keep it simple, it's like a wooden paddle, similar to a racquetball paddle. And then the balls are like hard wiffle balls that have a lot of different holes in them. So it's not exactly like the wiffle ball we play the baseball version of wiffle ball with.
Oh, my bag's 5 feet away, but yeah, the paddles.
Yeah, sure.
I have to get off camera. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't reach it. Okay.
So Matt's grabbing for our viewing audience. Matt's going to grab some of the equipment and we'll talk about that. But basically, you know, you've seen people playing and you hear the clack, 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 because the wiffle balls that they use are usually, I believe, yellow, and they've got a lot of holes in them. And the paddles, I believe, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, are they wooden, or are there some type of synthetic material that they're made out of?
The original ones were wooden. But now they are carbon fiber and also Kevlar, the same material used in police vests, DuPont Kevlar, is becoming popular. I believe to be tournament approved, they can't be more than 24 inches total in length and width. I'll just show you one paddle now that I have. You see that okay?
Okay, yep, see it perfectly. Okay, so it looks like kind of a ping pong paddle on steroids, but instead of being rounded, it's more of a kind of a square like a soft rectangle, if you will.
Yeah, here's another one I have.
Different. Okay.
I have two, one's for power, one's for control.
Now talk to us about that. So how do you determine like which paddle to use? And you call it a paddle or a racket?
Paddle, definitely call the paddle and pickable. People make a big deal about that. I don't make a big deal about it, but they call it. This is a pickleball.
Okay, so Matt's holding up the ball. It's 40, like a day glow green, yellow greenish.
Yeah, like a neon yellow. And the pickleballs used indoors are different than outdoors. This is an outdoor ball. The balls used indoor have larger holes. The reason being smaller holes because of wind potential outdoors. It won't be as affected by the wind with smaller holes. Yeah, they're just, you know, wiffle ball.
Okay.
Kind of plastic, and they get scuffed really fast. And you get a new one, they take it to the courts. 2 hours later, it looks like it's, you know, a year old.
How long does a ball last?
A lot of people love this noise, Bob.
Yeah, that's it.
They love that. The ball, not that long. If you play every day with a ball, sometimes 2-3 months, and sometimes they crack. In fact, some companies are coming out with balls that are supposedly guaranteed not to crack because in the cold weather, especially outdoors, like below 35 degrees or 40 degrees, I've had balls crack the first day. But they're not that. I mean, they're $3 a ball, generally speaking.
So in terms of there's a lot of health benefits, obviously, not just physical, but mental, because you have to have the fast reaction. You have to have some type of strategy. But from an injury perspective, you know, a lot of folks who are boomers who are playing now because they can't cover the ground on the tennis court as easily. Is there any issues if you've had any type of joint replacements, knee, hip, or any type of elbow issues or anything?
No, I haven't, but tennis elbow is very common. I've had two little foot injuries that sidelined me for a while. The number one tip that beginners are usually told in their very first lesson is never run backwards for a ball over your head. Never backpedal. Turn and put your back to the net, and then you do what's called a question mark, kind of a curly cue to try to hit the ball, or like a wide receiver in football, sidestep, you know, what's called also a shuffle step. But if you backpedal, people have hit their heads, and that's the worst. But there are a lot of injuries, but like any other sport, you know, with this many people playing at this age, there's going to be some, you know? I mean, I had partially torn tendons in each foot. Charging the net, I kind of landed on the ball of my foot awkwardly, and one didn't hurt that much at the time. I was out 2 months one time, 3 months other time. I have a sore back now and then, but, you know, I'm 70 years old and I play every day, so, you know, It's going to happen.
So talk to us, Matt, my special guest, Matthew Schwartz, award-winning author and investigative reporter. We're talking about his new passion and his new career, if you will. It seems to be taking off at pickleball. So talk to us about, for those who aren't familiar, Matt, with how pickleball is scored. How many points? Is it a point that you get? How do you get a point? And how does that all work?
You know, that's the hardest part for beginners. My first instructor said one of the four of you will usually know the score. So it starts at 0-0-2. Which means the serving team gets one person to serve. If they win the point, the score becomes 1-0-2. And they keep serving until they lose the rally. Then the other side gets it, and the score would be, they didn't get any points. So 0-0-2, they didn't get any points. And then it goes to the other side. You have to be serving to get a point, unless it's rally scoring, which is a different deal right now. We won't, for this conversation, we'll talk about rally scoring. It's another type of scoring. But traditional scoring, so let's say you don't get a point at 0-0-2. Say, you know, you serve it in the net. The other team gets it 0-0-1. The theory being, Bob, that the team that got the ball to start the game has an advantage because they're the only ones who score. So that's the only time in the game where only one person can serve. So let's say I hit one in the net. Let's say you're my partner. I hit a bad serve in the net. So it's 0-0-2. Then they get the ball. They get served, side out. They get served. And let's say they get a point. Then it's 1-0-2. and they switch sides so the server has to serve into the opposite box at 101. It's 101, I should say. The first number denotes your team score. The second number denotes the opponent's score. And the third number denotes the server's number. There's a one or a two server. It seems really complicated, but after a couple of days playing, you would get it. I don't know if I explained it very well.
Absolutely. And I notice when I see people playing that it's very seamless, that they know exactly what to do.
Yeah, they do.
So when you're serving, do you have to, you know, you stay behind the end line?
The baseline, and you would be next to me. Let's say I'm serving from the right box. Okay. I'd be serving it to the left service box. You'd be next to me behind the baseline. Reason being, you must let the ball on the return bounce at least just once. Bounce. You can't hit it on what they call the volley or on the fly. You must let it bounce. So if you creep up and they hit a good deep return at your shins, you're going to hit it in the net. So there's a saying, serve and stay, return and run. Meaning after the serve, stay behind the baseline, you know, 18 inches or whatever, in case they give a good deep return. You want to keep your opponents back. You want to be the first ones up to the non-volley zone line, also called the kitchen line. I've interviewed a legendary coach, Coach Mo, Richard Mo Sessian, who I'm going to take some lessons with in Florida in a couple of weeks. He says the number one mistake that 3.5 players make, that's the average rating for 75 to 80% of all pickleball players, is they don't get within 1 inch of the non-volley zone line as soon as possible and stay there, either because they're afraid of the ball or they don't know strategy. After you return this serve, you should do a slide or shuffle step, staying balanced and in ready position and low up to the non-volley zone line till you're 1 inch from it, because that gives you advantages and angles, and try to keep the other team back. Hit it deep. And then what happens, and you watch the pros, I love watching sports, as you know, and you do too, Bob, but I don't really like watching pickleball. I like watching lessons, because here's what a pickleball match is, and I respect and admire their greatness, their quick reflexes. Every rally is like 40, 50, 60 dinks. A dink is a short shot into the kitchen. Well, you're allowed to go in the kitchen when the ball bounces in there. You're allowed to go all the way up to the net if the ball bounces first. You just can't hit it on the fly in the kitchen, or the not, also known as the non-volley zone. But they'll do 40 or 50 dinks in a row. Somebody will mess up and hit a high or what's called an attackable shot, and then the guy will slam it, and that's the end of the rally. And that seems like that's all their rallies.
So when you're serving, this is underhand, kind of sidearm, overhead?
You have to keep the paddle below the wrist. You have to keep the paddle below the wrist. You can't like do it sideways or overhead, like in tennis. You certainly can't do an overhead. During the rallies, you can do overhead smashes, but the serve paddle below the wrist. And I believe, and I'm not positive this, but I believe waist high, around navel, you know, belly button high. You can't like serve sideways or too high.
So is it hard to be accurate, Matt, to get the ball in?
I had the service. Well, it shouldn't be. Good players almost never get faults. That's the bane of existence for a lot of players that are 3-5 or less. You should really never lose a chance at a point because of a lousy serve. I had the service yips for a while, and I watched a couple of videos, and the guy said, do what's called a drop serve where you let it bounce. Now, you can hit the ball right out of the air when you serve, what's called a volley serve, or you can let it bounce. I have gotten more accurate now letting it bounce, the drop serve. And you can do that. You can bounce it once, stay behind the baseline. I'm just more accurate. I point it to the middle of the service box where I want it to go. I hold it a little over shoulder length high. This is what this legendary coach, Richard Mo Sessian, his name is Coach Mo, he's known as. He told me to do that, and it's working for me. But I still get – you shouldn't get any faults if you're a decent player, really. I mean, you just – it's like hitting – an easy shot into the net. What's called, there's a saying, don't let the net beat you. I mean, a lousy shot over the net, a high one, is better than hitting the net, because at least you make them feel it, play it. Because a 3.5 player may mess up an easy shot, that at least you got it over the net. You have to make them play it. And a lot of times you see them hit it in the net or hit it deep.
Now, you've mentioned a few times the player rating, the 3.5. As a golfer, I know, you know, we get a handicap every time we play around, we fill it in, and your handicap adjusts based on what's called the slope rating or the difficulty of the course you're playing. for pickleball, how do they rank the players and why are so many players in that 3.5 area?
1.0 to 6.0, but anybody above like 5.5 or in the high fives or six is basically professional level. You don't see too many of them at recreational venues, you know? 3.5, you can do a lot of things, but you still have too many unforced errors. You're an above average player for sure, but they say 75, they being these, I've interviewed three of the top coaches in the country, and I'm going to write a piece soon about the five most common mistakes that 3.5 players make. And they've all told me that it's estimated that 75 to 80% of all recreational players are at the 3.5 level. I can tell you that is accurate for the venues where I play here. I've probably played with 600 players at about four different venues here in Asheville, North Carolina, and another town nearby called Weaverville. Most of the players are 3.5. You'll get an occasional 3.25, occasional 3.75, even an occasional 4.0.
How do you get your rank?
4.0 and up is considered advanced. 4.0 and up is considered advanced, let's say. If you're, you know, when you see these different articles, beginner, intermediate, advanced, or for paddles for those three levels, 4.0 and up, I would say, is advanced. How do you get ranked? How do you get rated? Well, there's something called the DUPR, which stands for Dynamic Universal Player Rating. And you're supposed to go to these like clinics and there are coaches there who will rate you. Now, I've never done that. So I'm self-rated. I'm not in it for tournaments or to win trophies. I've never entered a tournament. It just doesn't turn me on. Some people like it. I suppose I would if there was one for my age bracket and I didn't have to drive far, but it's really not why I'm into it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Most players are 3.5s.
Okay. Scoring. We were talking about scoring and starting the match. How does the match go?
You play to 11. So you can only get a point. You can only get a point, Bob, when your team's serving. Okay. If you're not serving, you can't get a point, even if you win the rally. But let's say they mess up twice in a row. Both of their people serve, and they lose both rallies. You then get the ball back, side out. Then you can get a point. You can only get a point when your team is serving. But there's been a trend towards what's called rally scoring. And Major League Pickleball in January of 24 this year picked it up where you can get a point on every rally. They want to move the games faster for television, for tournaments. They do it in some tournaments. Rally scoring is much faster, Bob, because there's always a point on every volley, every rally. You don't have to be serving. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the mental game, Matt, because it seems like so much of this, everything I read and just by listening to you, there's a lot of strategy that's involved in this. And it seems like it's a good physical workout because you've got to be quick and have reflexes, but you have to strategize and also be able to think on the fly, if you will.
There's constant lateral movement, first of all, and quite a bit of up and back, but there's a ton of lateral movement, especially in the area close to the kitchen when people are dinking. They're doing angle shots, you know, baseline shots. The best shot in pickleball is at the feet. And also if you can do, especially at the 3.5 level, a dink in the middle. There's often confusion between the other two players. You take it, I take it. And there's a lot of times, it's the old Alphonse Gaston, you take it, I take it. And you know, you play baseball, where the two outfielders stand there, you know,
right,
nobody takes
exactly. Start.
Pickleball, you wouldn't believe how many shots. They're not even fast. They'll look at each other and the ball because it's right down the middle. It's really about placement. There's been a trend towards power, especially with young players, but people that have, you need a good soft / control game. And good dinkers, there's a saying that you have to have a good soft game and a good power game, but if people that have only a power game will not, they'll only go so far. You know, they'll beat maybe most of the 3.5s, but I'll give you an example. I played with another 70-year-old dude against these two millennials that were slamming the ball about a month ago. These two, like 6'2" athletic, they must've been 30 years old. They beat us 11-5. My partner and I got caught up in their style of play where we were slamming the ball at them and we could not beat them in a firefight. He slams back and forth. They were slamming everything. We hit too many high shots. So the next time, you know, they stack paddles when the courts are crowded, you put them in stacks of four. It came up again, the same four paddles. And the two young dudes said to my buddy and me, you want to split up? And I said, no. I had talked to my buddy in the interim. I said, listen, if we're going to lose, it's okay. But let's lose at least at our style. Let's just try to dink them to death. Now, they had beaten us 11-5. We beat them 11-5 in the rematch because we hit everything soft. Now, that is the bane of the existence of the 3-5 and lower player. We hit too many pop-ups. If you can keep the ball down, don't let the net beat you and keep it low at the feet, you're going to win like 80% of the points at the 3-5 level. It's the pop-ups because your paddle. Now, if you think of it, Bob, think of the net. And if you can keep it low, the paddle has to be facing upwards. They can't slam it. So they're not going to be able to hit a hard shot. So if you need a good soft game, you watch the pros. Yes, they have good power games, but they also have great soft, you know, control games. You need both.
So exactly. What a dink is a soft shot then?
Mm-hmm. A soft shot that bounces low in the kitchen, below the net level, so they can't slam it. And I know people who have only a soft game, and they have played an advance further than people that have only a power game. If you could only have one, ideally it's great to have both, but if you could only have one, the soft game is more important. You know, patience wins most rallies. The team that doesn't get impatient and try to go for the slam when you don't have one, if the ball's below the net, you're going to hit it in the net or out deep. People forget how small the court is, and it's a wiffle ball. It flies. And there's a saying, eye high, let it fly. And I'm guilty of this sometimes. When I watch from the sidelines, I can't believe how many people hit a ball that would be way out. It's also kind of fun, and the adrenaline's going, and a ball's coming at you, and it's going to be way out, but you still hit it. If you let it go, it's going to go out. It's, like I said, it's 22 feet on both sides of the net.
Do you always hit the ball backwards? Sometimes you just hold the paddle up, and the ball just
Great question. If the ball has a lot of speed on it, it's called a punch volley. The less you need to punch forward, because the ball's going to go out if you give it too much. I was watching Ben Johns, the number one player in the world, play the other day, and there were some super fast shots at him. He barely moved his paddle, and the ball ricochets off the paddle. That's a great question. Yeah, a lot of 3-5 and lower players will move their paddle too far forward and hit it out. And the dinking, by the way, really the only time you should move your wrist in pickleball, I've been told, is overhead smashes. Dinking comes from the shoulder. If you use too much wrist action, you're going to hit it too hard and pop it up. Mm-hmm. From a lot of it's pushing from the shoulder. You know what I mean? That's why you have a lot of sore shoulders.
Amazing. I'm so curious and so interested now in getting started. My special guest on Guys Radio, this is your host, Robert Manny. My special guest is award-winning journalist, Matthew Schwartz, who's also writing for Pickleball Magazine now, and obviously he really is passionate and knows the game really well. So for the uneducated, if you will, including myself, I was reading about, when I was going through Pickleball Magazine, a lot of terminology. So let's just run through some of those. So climbing the mountain, what is that?
That I've never even heard of.
Okay.
I gotta be honest. I haven't heard of.
About rotate and rise.
I haven't heard of that one.
Okay. Load and low.
I don't know. Staying low is what I guess that's about. You know, a lot of people don't get low enough. You're supposed to play from a low position and be ready for the ball at your feet.
Okay.
I don't know. Load, it must mean be ready with your paddle up position, kind of waist high, kind of at like 2 o'clock, something like that.
All right. Well, the guy who writes about, he says, climbing the mountain, the path of the paddle should go from low and near the body to an extended and higher position, climbing the mountain.
Oh, I never heard that phrase, but that's true. Yes. I mean, yes, that's obviously true.
And the rotate and rise, he says, the turn and load part of the preparation is the most important part of the shot, since when you are turned and loaded, the rest comes more easily. You generate the right amount of power and control when you rotate and rise, straighten the knees through the forward motion of your shot. And as you do so, you extend and raise the arm throughout the follow through.
Yes. And there are some coaches who espouse the teaching of pretend there's a V like here between your leg and always hit the ball out in front. Don't shake. It's called chicken wing. If your elbow's too close to your body, you're going to hit it in the net or wide right. The ball should be paddle should be out in front. Too many people wait till the ball's too close to their body. Paddle should be out in front like a V. And when I see people wind up like old tennis players, I'm generally happy because they're going to hit the ball out deep. You shouldn't really wind up in the big tennis swing. You know what I mean? It's a shorter swing in pickleball.
Now, do you aim when you're playing? You want to Like when we play golf, we want to hit the ball down the middle. You want to stay on the fairway. When you're playing pickleball, do you want to play a lot of the game in the middle of the court and then go for, you know, when you have a chance to slam one, you do so?
Yeah, I try to hit most balls low middle. And as you get better, you know, when I started playing, I read a book and the author said, pretend the court is 3 feet narrower and 3 feet shorter. Don't get too cutesy and aggressive with these shots. You want to hit the line, the sideline or the baseline. Just get it over the net, low middle. Think low middle at the beginning. And as you get better, like most players at the 3-5 and lower level, their backhands, like in tennis, are inferior to the forehand. So as you get better, and you can hit to the person's backhand, especially their backhand foot. One guy I know says backhand toes. You know, if they're a righty, as most high majority of the overwhelming majority of players are, if you could hit to their left, he said, look at their left big toe or pinky toe, but the left foot, it's going to be low backhand and not going to be able to do much with it. But yes, to answer your question, I do. But a lot of mistakes, and I do this a lot, is you don't keep your head down. You look up where you're going to hit the ball. You take your eye off the ball. You should see the ball hit the paddle. And one coach I know, the one I'm going to take lessons with in Florida, says you should actually make a little sound to yourself when you hit the ball. Just get in a rhythm. Make a little grunt, not like what's her name, Monica Seles with the big right. yell. And a lot of the tennis player, make a little sound to yourself. But you got to see the ball hit the paddle. Don't pull your head up too early and look at the net or the guy, the opponents. You know what I mean? Keep like your head down in a golf strut, right? The follow through.
Makes perfect sense. So overall, big picture for pickleball, it's not just growing, it's exploding across the U.S. How about internationally? Are there other countries where it's really taken hold the way it has here?
I'm friends with some guys on Facebook who have actually been teaching pickleball overseas, China, Malaysia. I have a profile in my Hudef. Hudef, H-U-D-E-F, is a pickleball equipment company, primarily paddles, and I write a weekly blog for them. It usually posts on Tuesdays. This week it's Thursday. And the person I'm profiling in the Mars piece, he's leaving Saturday for Italy, Greece, and Istanbul. And he's going to go on a couple cruise ships and a couple sandals resorts, all to teach pickleball. So, yes, America is still ahead as far as number of players, but it's booming also overseas. It is. And most paddles, by the way, are made in China, are like four factories. And the Chinese are starting to get into pickleball. So, yeah, it is exploding there, but not yet here. And, you know, they're trying to make an Olympic sport, but that's another topic, you know, for down the road.
There's some pro leagues now, Matt. And can watch pickle? I think there's something called Pickleball TV. Is that an app? Or
yeah,
what is
Selkirk, the big paddle company, has an app, Selkirk TV. It's Pickleball TV. And now it's getting on ESPN, CBS. I mean, they had some celebrity pickleball matches. There was just something on, I want to say Amazon, on Prime, as they call it, called Breaking Pickleball, about a new pickleball league in Arizona, in the Phoenix area, at an indoor venue. And it's about this new league starting. So, yeah, I mean, it's booming. And you're getting a lot of younger people into it. One reason is the purses. You know, they're starting to offer decent sized purses. I mean, these people, not necessarily all of them, I mean, they have other jobs, but the younger people are starting to get into pickleball.
Has there been a well-known or pro celebrity, if you will, tennis player, maybe retired, whatever, who's kind of made the move? You would think somebody, you know, Agassi or somebody like McEnroe, they start pickleball and really be great at it pretty quickly and be advocates and get out in front of the whole thing.
McEnroe endorses one of the quiet paddles that he used in that televised match, and Agassi was playing in it, and they have endorsed. Drew Brees is into pickleball, and he has invested in a pro team along with Tom Brady, LeBron James, and some others. Yes, I can't think of the name of a there are many former tennis players who are now highly ranked on the pickleball circuit, the PPA tour, for sure.
Kevin Beeson, I'm sure you know who he is. I'm reading about him in your magazine, and he had three top tips for rec players rated under 4.0. And he says, number one, if players want to elevate their game, they need to drill, and more drill. What's your point of view on drills? And what kind of drills do you do?
I know Kevin, and I did a piece on him. he did a video that was seen by 100,000 people called Stop Saying Sorry. Because a lot of times in rec play, people say sorry when they hit a bad shot. And Kevin says, in 30 years of coaching tennis and now pickleball, I've never seen anybody hit a bad shot on purpose. Stop saying sorry. You're putting pressure on yourself, your partner. And he does some really great, just make sense type videos. He's in Hood River, Oregon, in fact. What was your question?
Drills. What type of drills and are they important in your opinion?
So a lot of, nobody wants to do this. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody. Most rec players just want to show up, you know, warm up for 10 minutes, a lot of, and then play, including me. But a lot of coaches will say to be really good, you should drill 80% of the time. And very few rec players want to go 4 out of 5 days and drill. They just want to play. But yes, the experts say you should drill as much as 80% of the time spent on the pickleball courts, not just play rec games. Mm-hmm. You know what happens, Bob? Let me just say, this is a typical scenario real quick. When I started, according to the really good players in Tucson, I went quickly to a 3-5. Since then, I've stagnated because I took lessons at the beginning and did some drills. But since then, I rarely drill. Maybe once a week I'll go drill. And that's not enough. If you really want to improve, you need to drill, maybe take lessons, but certainly drill more often than you play. But most rec players don't want to drill that much.
Okay, so maybe a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyhow because I've been dumb about pickleball the entire conversation. But how do you drill? Number one, how do you drill? What are the drills? Do you need another player to drill with? And can you play pickleball with if there's just two of you?
Yes, there's the drill that many coaches espouse as the number one, the best drill, at least their favorites, is called skinny singles. That's when, say, you and I were playing. We can start on the same side of the court, and you must hit the ball on the center line and over. You must hit it on this side of the court, half the court, okay? And then maybe I'll go on the left, and you'll go in the right corner. We have to hit it. You must hit it on my side of the court, non-volley zone line included, or the service box, either yours. That's called skinny singles. There's another drill called the accordion. You stand near the net at the non-volley zone line, and I stand at the same spot on the opposite side of the court. Accordion, I back up 2 steps. You hit it at me pretty hard. I back up 2 more steps, ditto, until I'm at the baseline, and I'm hitting what's called a drop shot. The third shot drop is maybe the best shot in pickleball. It's also maybe the hardest. And then from the baseline, I come forward. Just like I went back 2 steps, I come forward in increments of 2 steps until I'm at the non-volley zone line. And then you'll do it where you'll move back. What this is, Bob, it practices hard volley shots, but also your touch and control from different areas on the court. But the third shot drop is considered a really great shot. It's like I serve to you, and you return it to me, that shot number 2. And then you come to, if you hit a good deep shot to me, and then you're by the net, a third shot drop, and it's hard because I'm all the way back in the baseline, 22 feet, is for me to hit one. So the apex is right here over the net, and it lands in the kitchen where you can't slam it. But what happens a lot of times with inexperienced players is they'll hit a third shot right at you at the net, too high, and you'll slam it. And then the other shot, some people won't like it. I think in rec play, it's fine, especially if your opponent isn't like 6'4", is the lob, where I don't feel confident, let's say, in my third shot drop, or I want to mix it up. You know, I mean, variety is the spice of pickleball, too. I hit a lob over your head instead of do a third shot drop, and then you have to run back and try to retrieve it.
Amazing. So my special guest on Guys Radio, Matthew Schwartz, just a couple more questions. So what are kind of, for those who are curious, like myself, what are the kind of the 3 main benefits you get out of playing and playing so often?
It's an incredibly social game. I mean, you hear stories all the time. And I know my wife and I have made friends from pickleball, you know, people we go out with regularly, and nobody talks about what you did for a living. I've hardly ever been asked what I did for a living. Nobody talks politics. It's just, we talk about pickleball, really. And we laugh a lot. We laugh a lot. It's kind of an unwritten rule. You just don't discuss those things, I suppose, because I've never been asked about my political background or my work background. Exercise, camaraderie, friendship. It's so much fun. You always hear so much laughter at pickleball courts, you know? It's great exercise. I've probably lost 30 pounds since I started playing. Besides the fact that I became plant-based and have a healthier diet, but you just feel good. And I think also, especially as you age, I'm 70, you get sharper from physical exercise. You know that from what you do, you just get sharper. You think more clearly about things.
Yeah, you know? It's absolutely true. What do you think, Matt, is the future for pickleball now? Now that it's really kind of gotten roots, it started in the Northwest, it's spread across the U.S., it's 50 million people playing, it's going international. What's it look like five to 10 years from now? You mentioned briefly the Olympics. I would think that's a natural, if we've got breakdancing in the Olympics, yeah, as you've written about, that, why not pickleball?
Yeah, indoor venues is the big thing now. These chains like Chicken and Pickle, Ace Pickleball franchises, they're popping up around the country. Indoor pickleball, that's huge. It's getting really big. That's number one. Now you do have some controversies with the noise in a lot of communities, the HOAs, people who live near pickleball courts. Now, listen, I love pickleball, but I wouldn't want to live near a pickleball court. So what you're doing is the manufacturers, the paddle companies are working on quiet paddles. There are at least three out there that I'm aware of now. And they're also working on quiet balls. In Sacramento, one HOA told their players that they had to get quiet paddles. Now they got a big discount on these paddles. Instead of 150 each, they were 100. And now the HOA bought a few for them too. But the people agreed, if they don't want to lose their pickleball court, so rather use quiet paddles than no paddle at all. But that's happening around the country, where people are upset who live near newly built pickleball courts. They weren't there when their house was built, and now they're converting tennis courts with the quieter sound of it, obviously tennis racket and a tennis ball, to pickleball. So people are obsessed. So that's a big trend too. Rally scoring, I think, is going to happen eventually. Some people don't like it. I'm fine with it, because that makes the games go faster. And sometimes people are playing till 9 at some of these venues, Bob. They're so crowded. You know, you play to 11 typically, win by 2. So those are some of the trends that I can think of. Oh, and the paddle business has exploded. You know, there's something like 1,200 paddle companies. And a new paddle comes out something like every 36 hours.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. Well, Matt, you are an expert in yet another area, pickleball. And thank you so much for the information you shared with us, because I'm super curious now. I want to play. And I'm sure a lot of folks out there that weren't familiar with pickleball have a much better frame of reference. And those who play, I'm sure listening to Matt, you've picked up some pointers also. So where can everybody find out more about you, the work you've done, your book? Where can I get your book, Confessions of an Investigative Reporter, as well as read your work for Pickleball Magazine and Hoot of Sports?
The book's available on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, indiebound.com, and my website, matthewschwartzbook.com. My blog for Hoodef, it's H-U-D-E-F, sport, comes out generally every Tuesday. This week it's Thursday. And that's a weekly blog. I write, I try to write inspirational stories, some tips in there. It's all things pickleball, except at the end I put in some personal thoughts of the week about culture, arts, movie, just little funny tidbits. And then I've been writing for Pickleball Magazine since May. The current issue, I have two articles in. One is about spectacular backyard pickleball courts that people own. And you could read the cover story for free at pickleballmagazine.com.
You're doing great work. Keep it up. And I can't wait to share my stories of pickleball once I get started. You've inspired me. I got it. I'm psyched. Thank you so much, Matt, for being on Guys Guys Radio. Second time on the show, and a good one. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Bob.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
All right, what a fascinating conversation about pickleball. I'm so glad that I invited Matt Schwartz on the show. First of all, he's a terrific investigative reporter, a wonderful writer, and he's a friend. And as a lifelong friend, I've known him since I've been 7 years old, if you will. And it's not like we're buddies and we hang out all the time, but we've always stayed in touch over the years here and there. And it's so interesting to follow Matt's wonderful career as well as learn now about pickleball. He's writing for Pickleball Magazine and Hoot of Sports, and he is a real passionate pickleball player. And it seems like every time I talk to somebody about pickleball, somebody who's taken up the game, they love it. I have yet to meet a person who has tried pickleball and didn't like it. And it seems like it's a natural evolution if you're a tennis player and you have trouble getting around the court, maybe getting a little older. Pickleball can be fast, but you don't have to cover quite as much territory, of course. Anybody can play. It's a great way to socialize. I see a lot of couples on the pickleball courts playing, and it's a great way to make new friends. It seems like people, once they start playing, they play a lot, and they look at getting their rating moved up, and they go on even pickleball vacations. And now, as Matt spoke about and has written about for Pickleball Magazine, people are actually building pickleball courts on their property the way in the past people who had a lot of coin would put in a tennis court. Now people are putting in pickleball courts because they absolutely love to play this game. And it's taken the world by storm. I think it's going to end up in the Olympics at some point. Again, 50 million people playing, and the passion for this game is amazing. And you don't need a lot of equipment. You need a good paddle. It's probably going to run you between $100 and $200 for a real good paddle. And then you need the pickle balls, which are these hard wiffle balls. It's a great way to get and stay in shape, to exercise, and also you need some strategy. Yeah, it's not all power. It's not bronze. You need a lot of brains. And bottom line is, it's a lot of fun. So I learned a lot about pickleball. I can't wait to get out there and start playing, and I hope you will consider it also. Love talking about it, and looking forward to more pickleball on Guys Radio. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show, and until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.